Joining us this morning from Olympia, your Senator Brad Hawkins. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Well, nice to have you. You still sound enthusiastic all the way into this part of the session. Way to go.
Oh, thanks so much. Yeah, there's some long days and long nights, but we are approximately one-third of the way through the session, so things are moving along. But, you know, you have to learn to kind of pace yourself a little bit. It's a bit like running a marathon, and in a prior life I ran four or five of those, so you know, it's a long process. It's 105 days, so you can't burn yourself out completely in the first half.
No doubt about it. Now, I know you're very involved in the education processes that are going on in mm-hmm. Olympia. Can you get us up to speed on some of the things that you're working on or involved in?
Yeah, you know, one of the things most recently that I'm the ranking Republican member of the K-12 Education Committee, and one of the things recently I've done more proactively to solicit comments from folks is I sent a letter to a lot of the local school districts, the school boards and school superintendents. So I sent a letter to the Lake Chelan School District Superintendent Brad Wilson and the board, asking for feedback on what has been discussed here in Olympia over the past few years, which is the possibility of lowering the voter-approved threshold for school construction bonds. Now, school districts raise revenue two ways. It's through property taxes that are voter-approved, but they either have levies that are short-term taxes that support their operations, or occasionally, for longer-term projects, they can request a school bond proposal of the voters. And the way I like to say it, which is kind of easier to remember, is levies are for learning and bonds are for buildings. Well, there's two different voter-approved thresholds. The levies have a simple majority of 50%, but the school bonds require 60% supermajority to pass. And there have been efforts to lower the threshold to the simple majority of 50, which I don't support. You know, I think property tax, property owners deserve protections from their property taxes, and I see a difference between a short-term school levy and a longer-term bond, which can be approved and change the property tax structure for upwards of 25 years. But there is a consideration over the next year or two, I believe, to potentially lower that threshold either to 50% or to 55, which would be a compromise, because a lot of school districts are able to pass their school bonds with a vote of greater than 50%, but they fail because they don't get to 60. So it's a big discussion, and I'm encouraging school districts to provide me their feedback.
Well, what's the downside to the taxpayer? Let's just get to the actual people who pay the bill.
Well, I guess it's a matter of perspective. You know, if the threshold, for example, is lowered a bit from 60 to 55, or if it was certainly lowered from 60 to 50, there would be a greater likelihood of school districts passing their school construction bond measures. Now, if you're a school supporter, or your community, that a lot of the communities obviously benefit from having modernized public schools, then obviously that's a good thing, because the schools can be updated. There's plenty of room. They can be expanded, hopefully, more frequently, and they could be safer, because a lot of schools are looking at their school bonds to add safety measures to kind of retrofit their schools for current day school safety measures, active shooters, things like that. But every time a school bond measure is approved by a community, then there's a property tax element to that. And I know that property taxes are a big concern in Chelan and Manson and all throughout the state. And sometimes people, especially seniors, are getting squeezed out of their homes because property taxes continue to increase. And as a legislator, we don't really have a lot of control over property taxes. There's only a state portion of the property tax, which is about 23%. All the other portions of people's property tax bills are locally voted or locally determined by city councils or counties or port districts and fire emergency management, emergency response, and school levies and school bonds. So it's a big discussion when it comes to people paying their property taxes.
No doubt about it. What other opportunities are coming down the way for students and educators there in Olympia?
Well, there's a lot of bills being considered in Olympia related to education. It seems like the majorities in Olympia kind of want to spend more and more money every year, but they don't necessarily want to make a lot of reforms. They don't want to take major substantive advancements. Those are kind of the bigger things that I've kind of proposed. But one thing that I've proposed, I'm new to the Higher Education Committee this year. It's my third committee. I serve on K-12 education, and I serve on transportation. But higher education is new to me this year. And one of the ideas that I've proposed, just trying to get my feet wet, is a modernization of the Running Start program. Now, the Running Start program was created in 1990, so it was over 30 years ago, and it allows high school juniors and seniors, 11th and 12th graders, to participate in community college classes and earn dual credits for both their high school graduation and also their towards their community college graduation. And for the longest time, it's always been this way for 11th and 12th graders. I have a bill that proposes to allow 10th graders, so sophomores, to participate in one Running Start class per quarter, so long as that class is entirely online. I consider it kind of a walking start to Running Start. A lot of the Running Start students attend full-time, but it's really difficult to actually get their two-year degree at the same time they get their high school degree. So this might actually help them chip away at it a little bit more, and it might help students and families that want to be challenged and have a maturity level in 10th grade to do an online course. I also think it might be helpful for the Lake Chelan and Manson residents, mm-hmm. because of the potential to do some of the classes online, which for some of your students traveling down to Wenatchee Valley College is a bit of a challenge.
Well, and what a great way for families to save money on college expenses.
Oh yeah, no doubt. That's a huge part of it is, you know, if you have the ability, you might as well do that. Knock out some of your college classes. Maybe get closer to getting a degree. You know, it's we talk a lot in our state about post-secondary attainment, and that's kind of like a big phrase. But what it means is after high school, actually getting some sort of degree or certification or training. And a lot of the students that do Running Start now as juniors and seniors, you know, if they graduate from high school, they don't quite get there. Sometimes they never finish out, mm-hmm. whereas this would kind of help them do that and, you know, help not only students just take college classes, but actually get degrees and reduce their student debt and all those things. There's a lot of programs in the high school that we've tried to expand in our state for students. They're known as dual credit opportunities, and Running Start is one of the dual credit opportunities where students can earn both credits, but we also, and I talked with Superintendent Wilson about this in Lake Chelan when I visited him this fall during the listening tour. Lake Chelan School District has an extensive college in the high school program, which allows students that are high schoolers to take college classes and to qualify for those dual credits too, while staying at Lake Chelan High School. So, you know, that's a great thing as well. I'm for more opportunities for students and families, especially if it helps them avoid some debt and get some college degrees cleared out of the way.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you mentioned, we're about a third of the way through this session here in 2023. Tell us about the timeline that we're dealing with now and what we can expect moving forward.
Yes, we are approaching a major deadline. It's the first major deadline of the 105-day legislative session. The whole legislative session is already scheduled out with these strict due dates. And the first one is this Friday, February 17th. And it is for bills that are in their policy committees that don't have a fiscal component. Those bills need to be approved by this Friday and advanced out of their committees. And if they are not, then they are dead for the session. So basically, we have over 1,600 bills, I believe, in the House and the Senate currently under consideration, and they're all alive and well right now. Some of them are further along than others. So, for example, some of mine had hearings. Some of them had already been approved by their committees. But other bills haven't received a hearing yet, or they've received a hearing but haven't been approved by their committee. Well, all the bills that are policy-related need to be approved by their committees this Friday, or they're done. And so after this Friday, which is the first cutoff, legislators actually celebrate a little bit because the volume of bills that we have to consider significantly shrinks. And then there's more deadlines over the next couple years or next couple weeks. And eventually bills need to pass their house of origin, so either the House or the Senate, where they were first introduced, by a certain point in a month or so. And if they don't do that, then they don't advance for the session. So we're starting to hit these major deadlines, and the number of bills is going to significantly reduce every week from this point forward.
Hmm. Any other things that you happen to be working on that will affect North Central Washington?
Yes, I'm working on a variety of aspects related to the budget. So we have three budgets, operating, transportation, and capital. And in each of those, it's not necessarily a particular bill idea, but we're working on a lot of things. So, for example, the major transportation component, and I serve on the transportation committee, but the major transportation component that was funded in North Central Washington was the Confluence Parkway project, which was funded through a federal grant, as well as an $85 million allocation from the state of Washington in this most recent Move Ahead Washington transportation package that was approved last session. Well, we need to make sure that gets scheduled out in accordance with, you know, what it would take to actually have the city of Wenatchee build that project. So we're going to try to take that $85 million and spread it out over the next 6 years and get it timed right and approved, so that everything is on schedule and the money is allocated when it needs to be. So this transportation plan was a 16-year transportation plan, but a lot of the dollars then also need to be, the finer details need to be figured out. That's just one example, but that particular Confluence Parkway project for Wenatchee is a major, major project. It's a whole roadway, but also a second bridge across the Wenatchee River. And it was one of the North Central Washington top priorities for transportation for the past several years. And we're really close to finalizing and buttoning up all the details on that. And that's just one example.
Mm-hmm. Senator, for those who maybe want to maintain contact with you or they have questions, concerns while you're in session, what's the best way to communicate with you?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So we have a website that we work really hard on to make sure it has a lot of good information for people. My website is senatorbradhawkins.org. So again, that's senatorbradhawkins.org. They can read my recent news releases. There's a whole history of my email newsletters. People can subscribe to my email newsletters if they don't receive it. There's information about me and my background and content. There's a contact me page where people can just click on that, fill out some of their details and describe their question, and then click submit. And that comes to me and my staff. And so we get that basically in real time. So if people have any questions about things we discussed here, any questions about upcoming budget proposals or other pieces of legislation that may or may not have survived these cutoff dates, then please just contact us. If your question requires a little bit of research, we might need a couple days to get back to you, but we work really hard to get a response to every single constituent who contacts us because I feel like these positions exist just to serve the people who bring us here. So it's my honor to serve as a state senator, and we love it when people reach out to us so we can help get them the answers they're seeking.
Senator Brad Hawkins joining us for a Community Connection. Thank you so much for joining us each Tuesday. We'll look forward to another terrific report next week.
That sounds great, Jeff. Right. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, and thanks for all the work you do. Again, 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins joining us for a Community Connection, all brought to you by Caldwell Banker Lake Chelan Properties, the leading real estate firm in Central Washington with offices in Chelan, Winthrop, Wenatchee, and Leavenworth. You can call them 509-682-7777 or visit cbcascade.com today. It's 8:01 on this Tuesday morning, Valentine's Day. Time for national and international news from CBS.
You're connected to the KOZI studios, powered by Valor Law.
And I got to tell you, it feels phenomenal.
We are KOZI FM Chelan.
Your community information station, KOZI and KOZI FM Chelan.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We've just learned more about last night's shooting on the campus of Michigan State University. The school's interim deputy police chief, Chris Rosman.
We do have three.